Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Danielle.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Lovely, lovely. Great to have you on the show. We're talking about these societal pressures to becoming a parent, a mother. Now, if you're out there and you're listening, we're going to be talking about that. Perhaps out there you listening to us and you've also experienced this pressure, you know, in your 20s, 30s, and particularly if you're married and you've probably been asked, when are you actually going to have children? In most, if not all societies, there is a clear expectation that women would eventually become mothers, and many feel pressure to have children by their own parents who look forward to having grandchildren. Now, parenthood as the default life trajectory is evident in films and television, but and also in the public spaces, by the way. These assumptions and pressures become more intense depending on age as a person grows, and also timing if they're successful. Now, Danielle, what are the societal norms and expectations surrounding motherhood, especially in our modern day society?
It's a good question, Zama. In many cultures, including within Christian communities, there's this unspoken assumption that every woman will eventually become a mother, right? And that doing so is a key mark of her worth or her completeness as a woman. While motherhood is indeed a beautiful and God-given calling for many, society often overlooks the fact that God's plans for women are diverse. You know, in Proverbs 31, it says the virtuous woman is praised for her character, work, and wisdom, not only for being a mother. And so in modern society, this expectation can create unnecessary pressure, especially for women who are single, facing infertility problems, or simply having different callings.
You know, as you are talking, I'm actually reminded of a story I once came through some years back. And it's actually just sad, because in certain cultures, if you have not been able to give birth after just a few years of marriage, maybe 3-4 years, they already call you a seriously derogative, you know, terms.
Yes.
But just for not being able to bear children for their family. In fact, but what makes it worse is that the family then actively starts acting towards making sure that there's got to be a replacement for you, because you're failing to do your job. Now, how should a woman balance her personal goals and aspirations with societal expectations about motherhood?
Well, you know, as a Christian counselor, I often encourage women to prayerfully seek God's will first, right? If God has placed certain talents, passions, or ministry callings on your heart, those are valid and valuable. Balancing these with the idea of motherhood means making choices that align with your values and God's timing. It's not about our timing. And it's not just the crowd's opinion. Remember, you are accountable to God for stewarding your very own life, not to every voice around you that has an opinion.
Notwithstanding the pressure?
Sorry, Zama, you're just breaking up there. Sorry,
say that again. I'm saying, is that notwithstanding the pressure?
It depends. Sometimes we can break to the pressure, right? Because everybody's pulling us, like you said, from left to right. When are we having kids? How are we balancing it? Life, career, expectations. But it's important for us to know what works for us. Because at the end of the day, if motherhood is not something that works for us, then it shouldn't be something that we cave to because of societal pressure.
Now, how do we navigate conversations about motherhood with family and friends who may have different expectations?
So this is a really good question, because it's important that we approach these conversations with grace and firmness, right? Scripture reminds us to speak the truth in love. And you can talk to them and thank them for caring, while also gently stating that you and God are walking a path that may look very different to their expectations. It helps to have a short, kind response ready. I always tell young ladies to visualize the conversation in their head and to prepare that conversation, so that when it comes around, they're not caught off guard. And it could go something like, I appreciate your concern, but this is a personal matter that I'm bringing before God, and we are walking this journey.
And should they speak to their husband about it?
You mean the family or the wife?
The wife.
Yes, definitely. I think if you are, as your partner and yourself are on the same page and you are a united front, it's even better, right? Because when you're both speaking with the same voice and you're both on the same page, then family often will back down because you're both coming together. This is your united front that you're giving your family, and sometimes they will back down, sometimes they'll ask questions. But it's definitely important for you both to be on the same page and to know where the other individual is.
Now, I'm just thinking here to those who perhaps are listening and they've got family members that have been meaning to ask about this. Is there even a polite way to ask a woman when she plans to have children or what's taking so long?
You know, sure. Honestly, the most polite and loving way is not to ask at all. You know, it creates so much pressure, like we're talking about, on individuals when we keep asking, when there's pressure all the time. So questions about a woman's fertility or family planning can often open deep wounds and scars, right? Whether the individual is dealing with infertility or loss or singleness or other struggles that we're just not aware of. You know, and Proverbs 18:21 says to us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. We honor one another best when we respect privacy and trust that if someone wants to share something, they will.
Now, you spoke to us about how they can protect their boundaries when faced with the pressure to have children. I mean, they can explain and all of that. I love that response. But how do these societal norms and expectations impact on the choices, you know, and experiences related to motherhood? I mean, some may be having pressure. You know, we are in big cities, Cape Town, Johannesburg, all these big cities. And sometimes family is not there, you know, extended family, etc. And during the December period, that's when most of these things come. And you may discover that maybe some cave into these, you know, they say, you know what, maybe next December we should go back with the child because, it's been long. This, you know, my mother has been asking me about this. My dad has been asking me, the grandparents have been asking about this. How do they impact on our choices, on women's choices, rather, these expectations?
So, like we've been saying, right, societal norms can make a woman feel very rushed into motherhood and often judged, you know, when she's not meeting everybody else's expectations in regards to timing. Like you're saying now, going home in December and, oh, where's the baby? When are you going to make me a grandmother, you know? And so it can put a lot of undue pressure on, especially the woman. Often men, you know, will jest about it and they'll joke about it, but it creates a lot of expectation on a woman and can make her rush into something that she's not ready for, right? It can also lead to anxiety, guilt, or comparison. You know, for example, if there's sisters or brothers, siblings, and they're having children and this individual is not. And this can lead to robbing them of the joy of what motherhood should be, should they choose to go that way.
You know,
we need to actually resist from being shaped by worldly pressures and expectations and understand that God's plan is never a one size fits all. You know, God may have a different journey for that individual, and us putting unexpected pressure on the individual could cause a lot of pain and hurt. And I often think about Hannah. You know, she wanted a child so desperately and prayed and prayed and prayed because she had all of these expectations. And so it's not a good idea to blanket everybody with the same kind of expectations.
Now, do you find that in your work, I mean, you've been speaking to women about this and you've given them advice. Do you feel that or see that there are double standards or biases maybe in how mothers and fathers are treated or perceived?
Yes, definitely. I mean, mothers are often judged more harshly. I don't know if you've seen that yourself, right? Whether for working or staying at home and not working, or how they raise their children, while fathers may receive praise for the same actions. You know, fathers get praised for working, fathers get praised for doing X, Y, and Z, which a mother may be harshly judged for. And this imbalance is not in line with God's design, where both parents are called to share responsibility and honor one another's roles. It's very important that we discuss this and recognize it and then address these biases, because it's part of building a Christ-like community and marriage, right? And then also understanding what we each bring to the home.
Man, now, how do we then challenge or change the norms and create a more equitable society?
That's a very good question, Sama. You know, and often I will say to people that change starts in our hearts and then in our homes. Because if we don't live the change and show the change, then there can be no change, right? So as believers, we can model respect for different life paths, speak words that build up rather than pressure and guilt, and teach our children that worth is found in Christ, not fulfilling societal checklists and expectations. Churches can also create space for women in all stages, married, single, mothers, child-free, to serve and lead and be celebrated where they are at in their journey with Christ.
I want to.
Our values equal and unshakable, right?
Now you mentioned church, and I thought it's quite important because I didn't think about it, but that in smaller communities like churches, for instance, where this couple or the mother congregates at,
Summer?
can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello, Danielle. Danielle, can you hear me? Oh, goodness. Hello, Danielle. All right, it does seem that we are experiencing some drops there in those calls. So I'm not sure what's happening. Man, my goodness, such a lovely. And we're just ending this conversation. Danielle, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Now, lastly, apart from the direct pressure and the questions that could be coming from family, I do understand that some pressure may be coming from, smaller communities like churches, where this person goes to church, and all the mothers who are same age are having their children and they're playing with their children. Wouldn't that put some pressure on this woman? Because now everybody has got a child, and everybody is playing with their child, and you can see that these are happy families. Wouldn't that create some kind of a pressured environment?
Yes, for sure, right? Because, like you said, we're going to environments where there are mothers, there are babies, there are children. And when we feel like we are lacking, but we need to remember that our womanhood is not measured by whether we become mothers or not. It's motherhood is a beautiful and sacred calling for many, but it is not the sole definition of womanhood. God's word affirm, sorry, affirms that our identity is rooted in Christ alone, and our worth comes from Him, whether He plans for us to be a mother or not. And as hard as it is, we need to celebrate those other mothers, you know, and realize that when our journey continues, whether it may be a motherhood or not, we need to know that that we're still loved by God, and that we need to deal with that. Maybe go to therapy, speak to a counselor. And I've spoken to quite a few women about that. And it's good to talk to someone about it and not to harbor those feelings so that they become bitter and resentful.
What would be your parting shot at talking to that young woman out there in their 30s and no children, and they're really not ready as we part ways?
I would say to them that motherhood is a wonderful calling, but if that is not God's plan for you, that does not mean that you are unworthy. That does not mean that you're not valued. And that does not mean that God does not have a specific purpose for your life. Motherhood is a beautiful thing, but God may have a different path for you. And I would suggest that until that happens, or if that happens, you go and you see a therapist and you speak to someone, speak to your husband, have those honest and open communications so that you don't harbor those feelings of bitterness and resentment, and that they don't affect your relationship with others as well as with God.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you coming through. Until next time, have a good evening.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Zama, for your time. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.